This is WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. Mardi Gras kicks into high gear in New Orleans this week. Hundreds of musicians will fill the Crescent City between now and Fat Tuesday, including the Cambridge-based band Revolutionary Snake Ensemble. WBUR's Andrea Shea explores why this northern brass band was invited south and why its musicians are making their Mardi Gras pilgrimage by train.
On a recent frigid night, a bunch of hardy New England musicians gather at the Abbey Lounge in Somerville. Swathed in fleece and wool and drinking short glasses of bourbon, the drummer, bassist, and four horn players warm up their fingers and lips. This is the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble's last chance to rehearse before heading south to New Orleans, where they'll shed a few layers and march in one of the many Mardi Gras parades. Band leader Ken Field plays the alto sax and says he feels deeply connected to the Big Easy, as many musicians do. New Orleans is the birthplace of jazz, after all. But Field says the Snake Ensemble crosses genres.
We're doing an Ornette Coleman piece called Chippy. And it fits in this kind of funny way between the three points of reference that I think we have, which is the New Orleans brass band, funk music, and free jazz.
The Snake Ensemble came together almost as a lark, according to Field. More than a decade ago, he and the other musicians improvised New Orleans-style music casually at parties just for fun.
For many, many years, I didn't even think this music was worth recording. I thought we were just having a good time, and why should we record a Boston band playing music that's really heavily based in New Orleans? What's the point of that? And finally, a couple of years ago, I just was convinced that maybe we should go in the studio and record it.
Jazz critic Glenn Astorita is glad they did. Before Hurricane Katrina hit, Astorita wrote for the New Orleans Weekly Gambit, where he listed the Cambridge band's debut CD as one of the top 10 for 2003. Not bad for a bunch of Yankees.
They pretty much modernized the traditional concept, and they spun it into a singular sound that was very unique, very vibrant. They accelerated the norm. They went past the tried and true, and they managed to do it all with a very distinct musical persona.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Our next station stop in a couple of minutes will be Providence Station. Providence,
for the past 3 years, the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble has traveled to Mardi Gras by train. Band leader Ken Field even managed to convince Amtrak to let them play along the way to remind people of the Crescent City's ongoing struggle. At 6:30 in the morning, the band woke up with this traditional piece called Going Back to New Orleans.
Very interesting to play in the lounge car of a moving train. You see people coming in and they look at you and go, what the heck is this?
Phil Neighbors plays the bass drum.
The most primitive instrument known to man. Goes boom.
Neighbors says he sees this trip as a journey to the roots of what he does.
You know, when I was a teenager, I remember hearing a band called The Meters, which is a very influential kind of funk New Orleans group. And the first time I heard drums being played that way, I was just utterly astounded, you know. Beats that are like, this percolating groove. And it was just a whole eye-opening thing to me. So New Orleans means a lot to me personally, musically, and I think to the country.
Neighbors and the rest of the musicians are making this pilgrimage in part because they're concerned about preserving New Orleans' musical heritage in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Droves of musicians fled after the devastating floods, and for many, their absence has left a gaping hole in the city's cultural fabric.
Or as Mercer Ellington said, things ain't what they used to be.
David Kunyon is a programmer and late-night jazz radio host at WWOZ in New Orleans. He says the situation on the ground there is dismal a year and a half after the levees broke. People are depressed and are taking the rebuilding of the city into their own hands, according to Kunyon. The future of the music scene is also a major concern, he says. There aren't as many clubs or gigs or musicians. He refers to the evacuation as a diaspora, but says if there is a bright side, it's that the New Orleans sound will be kept alive by the musicians who've gone on to drier pastures.
Now there's New Orleans music everywhere, kind of just like it was when jazz started and kind of went all over the place. And people are concerned about, you know, what will happen to it because it is so valuable. We're not quite sure whether it's dying or not, but it certainly is not dead. I don't think it's going to die. And I think that anybody playing it, and I think that the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble playing New Orleans-style music helps to preserve it. But even coming down this year, they'll go back and people will say, how's New Orleans? And they'll say, you know, it's still there and still okay in certain ways, and it is totally screwed up in other ways. So it'll keep the story and what's happening here, at least in the minds of people who care.
That's the goal, according to band leader Ken Field. But he's also realistic.
You know, we're not deceiving ourselves. We're not making a big impact. We're making a little impact. But even a little impact is, we hope, helpful.
As the train pulls out of New London, Connecticut, heading further south, this reporter stays in the bitter Northeast. Today, the members of the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble trade their heavy coats and sweaters for sequin jackets and feathered masks. Soon, they'll be marching down Bourbon Street. For WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
You can see and hear a video of Revolutionary Snake Ensemble by going to a link at our website, WBUR.org. This is WBUR.